Thank you for our Texas. It required all kinds of work, large and small, to make Texas what it is, to be so good for us, and none of it would have happened without you being the mover of it all. You are the one wise enough to know what to do, powerful enough to make it all happen, good enough to make it so beneficial for us. And so we give all glory to you for our Texas, and we ask that you will further bless it. We ask that you will help this next generation of young men and young ladies growing up in Texas to make their way from childhood to adulthood, for the young men to be able to make their living, and pray that you'll bless them all with good marriages and children and a place in the congregations. Lord, please help them to be excellent citizens for the future of Texas. Pray that you'll also protect Texas from threats from the outside and whatever troubles might rise up from inside, so that there can be another generation of peace and prosperity and liberty here. Please bless this class today. Please help us to learn our history so we'll understand what to do in our future. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the place where you can read what God said right after the flood? What book of the Bible would that be? What chapter would that be? Right, somewhere along in there. And what is it? God spoke to Noah at the end of chapter 8 after the flood, and then we're going to read at the beginning of chapter 9. I'd like to ask you all to read aloud Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through, there are five of you, no, we need more than that, verses 1 through 7. Miss Angie, you being here my left, would you please start us, and would every one of you read a verse, and then it'll require going back around a couple spaces, I guess.
So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand.
Everything that moves and lives shall be with you, as the green herb have I given you all things.
But flesh with the life thereof, with the blood thereof, shall you not eat.
Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God hath he made man."
And just one more verse, if you please, miss.
"And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it."
And we'll hopefully make reference to this, what we just read, a little bit later in the hour. Okay, friends, how about a nice quiz? I figure you've been looking forward to a nice quiz all week. I can provide you a nice little quiz. Ready? On what date in 1835 did the Mexican army at Bihar surrender to the Texians? On what date in 1835 did the Mexican army at Bihar or San Antonio surrender to the Texians?
Can you tell me what year?
Yeah, I already said the year, so whatever. Number two. Sam Houston appointed three officers. This is during the winter of 1835 to 1836. Sam Houston appointed three officers, one each to command and recruit at the largest towns. Name two of those three officers, or all three, if you happen to have them handy in your brain. Those three officers Sam Houston appointed to command and recruit the largest towns. Last name will do. Full name if you've got it.
I discovered the full name of one of them.
What's that again?
I discovered the full name of one of them.
Ah, all right. Okay. What city in Mexico was the proposed target of the expedition ordered by the council? The council ordered a military expedition to go conquer some Mexican city. What was it? Alrighty then, in what month and year did Texas finally declare its independence from Mexico? In what month and year did Texas declare its independence from Mexico? We'll leave the exact day for a little later in the class, but what month and year? And the last question, when Texas declared independence, was Stephen F. Austin selected as the president of the ad interim government? The ad interim government, the government that was established to rule until the first elections could be held, was Stephen F. Austin selected as the president? All right, friends and neighbors. Mexican Army at Bihar surrendered to the Texians on what date?
December
10th. Yes, indeed. All right. The three officers. Angie, one officer?
Fannin.
And his first name?
James.
Do you know his
middle name?
Start with a W.
Right. I've got it down as J.W. Fannin. All right. Another one. Ava?
William Travis.
William
Barrett
Travis. Okay, Miss Audrey, another one?
James Neal.
Okay. The city in Mexico, the ill-fated expedition that caused so much trouble?
Matamoros.
Okay. All right, Alvin, what month and year, independence? We do know that by January 7th, Austin and Houston were agreed that they had to declare independence, but no, not yet.
February 1836. I couldn't remember if it was February or March 1st.
Angie, what month and year?
March.
March 1836.
Yeah.
When Texas declared independence, was Austin made the first president? No. Now, he wasn't even there, right? Was still in the U.S. working on our behalf there. I'm not going to assign another chapter to be read this coming week. If you would like to reread chapter 3 in volume 2, that'd be great. Not going to be a new assigned reading. Study your notes you take on this class. Study your timeline for you know what next week. Now, as to our timeline, here is today's boy versus girl competition.
Cook is always a little one patty.
You have to choose in your mind an item from your official timeline. And then you have to get your teammate to guess which one it is and say it perfectly without saying anything in it, those exact words. Like, let's take it as an example. Let's say that I am trying to get my teammate to say the 1528 one. I might say, the one where the Spanish guy whose name means cow arrived at that place of land with water all around it. And you would say?
1528 Debacamines at Galveston Isle.
Okay, and that would be a point. Okay?
I got a few more, players than I think.
But if I say, okay, that one where the Spanish guy and his name means cow and he landed at that island, the other team, upon me saying island, would all say, eh, right. And I would have to leave that one and try to start a new one. Okay? Or if I'm saying my clues and then my teammate says, 1528, Devaca lands at Galveston Peninsula. Then the other team would say, and you've got to start over. Okay? The way the girls will do it with three people is one girl will do it to one other, then on the next turn, like that. Okay? Since there's only two of you guys, it'll be easy.
Yeah,
right. And once the person responding starts to say it, if you get it all wrong at all, it's okay? All right, so ladies first. Ava already tried this at home once, one round, so we're going to let Ava go first, okay? Ava, you give your clues to Audrey. Audrey, as soon as you realize which one she's saying, then you say the whole thing, right, okay?
Don't blurt it out.
You can choose anyone in your mind that you can get a hold of in there, and we'll try all of them.
A famous Texan man's father.
Uh-oh. You just said the word Texan, and one of the words in that item is Texas. So, got to choose another one.
An important man comes back to a place. 1835, Stephen F. Austin returns to Texas.
That's how you do it. All right. Woo-hoo. Okay. All right. Why don't you go first? Pick one out of your memory banks and describe it to Alvin without saying anything in it. This is quite a mental exercise, isn't it?
A person whose name is like a tree is oppressive. I don't know the word.
Oh, we're gonna get it now!
I said professive.
Oh, you're a professor as well. Okay. Oh, man.
So close.
All right, you gotta pick a different one.
There's a big battle. Started the war.
You can say battle.
Oh, no. Battle is one of the words. Gotta start over.
So I have a man goes on the walk.
Goes on the water.
Or to an area, so a place surrounded by water.
1528, Debacle lands at Galveston Island.
Congratulations.
Amanda Barry, you're ready to go.
Okay.
Not being able to do better.
All right, Audrey, I guess you're next to do one for Angie.
Okay.
Lady whose name is a tree.
This is hard enough for Audrey without two.
Yeah, floppy who makes a tree. Thank you for doing this.
There was a gathering that happened for the first time.
Oh.
Are you talking about the first texting consultation?
Uh-oh.
And you can't use the word first.
Yeah. 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 Oh. It happened for the first time.
Okay. Try a different one. Can't use any of the words or numbers in that item. This is hard, isn't it?
There was a group of people that gathered for the number two time.
Okay.
1833, second texting consultation, proposes statehood for Texas and sends Austin as its delegate to Mexico City.
Whoa.
For the number two time. clever.
For the time after the first time.
All right, Alvin. Pick one in your noggin.
An important delegate comes back from a prison.
There you go.
You did?
No!
Alright, a church leader starts teaching in a state.
That's very helpful. Yeah, state.
1825. Can't remember the name.
Well, his name isn't the first thing. You got the year right.
It's a hard one. You'll have to do it in a series.
Baptist minister, 1825 Baptist minister Joseph Bayes begins preaching in Texas.
Woo, you guys got it! Not that that was all that smooth, but it all worked. It came out.
The harder you have it going in a series.
Yeah, isn't it? Okay, so who does that leave? Angie gets to give it for Ava.
Mexican politician seizes control.
That should be enough clues.
It should be.
Yeah, several. No. Takes power and pushes a narrow policy toward Texas.
Woohoo!
I gotta remember the year.
Congratulations. Okay. Let's hear it.
I don't know.
for the number third time. A group of people gather together and talk
you
about
can't,
this.
You can't say third.
Well, you did say third.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Gotta pick another one.
Several centuries ago.
Alright, good way to start.
Alright, that'll work.
A person enters a state.
Oh, enters is another word.
So you can't, most of you can't use common words.
Yeah.
Several centuries ago as well. Another person rode in a boat.
Oh my goodness.
You ought to stop there because you haven't, I think you got it across and you haven't messed up, so.
1685, LaSalle lands at Matagorda Bay.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Scooby, you said you wished that you could play.
Well, I don't know them.
If I set the list in front of you,
yeah.
You could. Yeah. Do you want to give the clues or try to guess?
No, I'll give the clues.
Okay, you pick one of those and give the clues. And the first young lady to realize which one she's talking about, speak up and say.
I'm thinking about this one. I'm higher.
Okay.
You guys be ready to sound the buzzer if Boomy says any of the
all right.
words
okay.
in it.
Okay.
A state real close to Texas. Buy something.
1803, Louisiana purchased a state.
A state real close to Texas.
Okay. Now the tiebreaker.
Oh boy! I don't think it's cool.
Now here's how the tiebreaker works. We have two new items on our list, right?
I know.
And the young ladies will start on either one of the two new items. You'll say one word each, and if you get the whole thing exactly right, you get the tiebreaker bonus point. If you miss any word at all, it switches to the young men who get to try to finish it, and back and forth until somebody has made it through. We have two new items from last week, isn't that so? Okay, so Angie, pick for your team one of those two items and start into it, and everybody says one word. Yes, miss?
Do numbers count as words or
just like the whole number?
Yeah, the whole number, like.
And for the first one, we just added like a phrase to it. Do we say the phrase or do we say the whole thing?
Well, never mind that one where we added a point stamp. Who's the commander in chief? It's the next two.
First two. One of them was added. Right. There's two.
I'm more worried about Ava's
I hope I'm not messing this up for you.
No, I think
oh, we have one from 1836. Oh my god.
Oh no. Sorry, Ava.
You only get 5 more seconds. Buzzer noise. Okay. Man, you get to try to steal. The first word is?
1836.
That's already been said. So now go to the next word.
Stephen F.
Austin. Okay. Next young lady. One word. On?
January 7th.
Oh, no.
Stephen F. Austin. And? Sam Houston. Both. Right. That. Texas. Mm-hmm. Must. Declare. Independence.
Woohoo! Okay. So, all right, young men. The other one that was new for this week Alvin, I guess it's your turn.
This one?
Yes, this is the one that was right before the one the girls picked.
1835. Send me 1835. There we go.
I'm going to get 5 more seconds. Do you want to guess? Do you want to make a guess?
I guess fuck. The Mexicans?
Now, you just said 2 words. It's only your part to say 1 word.
The Mexican army surrenders Bahar to Texas.
Thank you for the buzzer noise. That was awfully close. All right, so the last word said correctly was the word two. Whose turn was it over here when we left off? Who finished that last one?
Audrey.
Audrey, so it's Angie's turn.
The Texians on.
Buzzer noise, please. Okay, the last word correctly said was Texians. Whose turn is it over here?
Alvin's.
December 10th. Woohoo! I think you added the word on, which is not. That is not official.
Okay, I have it right.
That, of course, that's correct. There's correct. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that's not official. So the young men were able to steal, and it ended up a tie. Wow. I mean, that wasn't a steal.
Wow.
You tied in the tiebreaker, so it's a tie. Congratulations. Minor mishaps there, but you did end up coming out with it. Okay, friends, here are 2 new items for your official timeline. 1836. On March 2nd, Texas declares itself an independent republic. 1836. On March 6th, the Battle of the Alamo ends with the death of all the defenders.
Oh, it's March. Oh, so we're saying March 2nd, not March 2nd?
You know what? You know what? I'm going to take back the second one about the Alamo. We're going to save that for next time. Just the March 2nd, 1836, on March 2nd.
Are we going to write 2nd or just 2?
2nd. I've been writing the little letters, and I should have this time. I just didn't. On March 2nd. On March 2nd, Texas declares itself an independent republic. So, as you know, the events at Washington on the Brazos, the convention, took place at the same time as the military conflict at the Alamo and at Goliad and Cahuilla Creek. And I had in mind to lay those before you side by side, but it was too much for the short time that we have. So we're just going to do the convention at Washington on the Brazos, the Declaration of Independence, and the new government and the Constitution. So March 1st, 1836, the convention convenes at Washington on the Brazos.
That's what I was thinking earlier. The quiz.
And that's in the vicinity of... That's funny, I was about to say in the vicinity of Houston. Now I'm forgetting where it is.
It's kind of southeast, I think.
It's basically nowhere now. There's nothing but a little marker and small monument there. Washington on the Brazos. March 1st, the convention convenes. Remember that had been agreed to months before. Richard Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, Richard Ellis was elected president, but only president of that convention, not president of the new country or anything. Just to preside at that convention, Richard Ellis. And the next day, March 2nd, independence was declared. Texas declared independence. March 4th, you-know-who was declared commander-in-chief. He was already commander-in-chief of the Army before, right? Under that ad interim government. March 4th, Sam Houston, unanimously chosen commander-in-chief. He was nominated and nobody voted against him. He was unanimously chosen commander-in-chief. 2 days later, March 6th, he set out westward to join up and command the army.
Was it Richard Ellis?
Richard Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, president of the convention. I want to mention something from the 12th of interest. The convention passed an ordinance regarding organizing the militia. And what they said was that all able-bodied males ages 17 to 50 were subject to military duty for 6 months. And so I've talked to you about this before. The militia has come up, comes up a lot of times in history and at present. And at different times in different jurisdictions, what exactly the parameters were has been different. And in the case of the Pioneer Texians, what they decided was able-bodied. They stated that, but that's a given. If you're lame or blind or something, you're not subject to militia duty. And the age that they gave was 17 to 50. None of us here would have been subject to it. You young men, not quite old enough. I'm just a little too old. The rest of you not being men. Their attitude, of course, was correctly so. This was males. He would have been, though, right? Isn't he exactly 50?
Just until the 23rd of May.
And so there was going to be one man was appointed to go back to his town and register, find out who all those men were and make a list of them. And then there was a lottery according to how many men the commander-in-chief said were needed or something like that. I forget. And so they would serve then for 6 months or more. So I really want you all to understand this. This is why I say this so often. The militia is the militia, no matter how it's organized or if it's completely unorganized. It's still there. All the able-bodied men are still the militia, no matter how they're organized, no matter what the ordinances are. It's just that in time of need, then they have to be called out, organized, put into service. So the better that they are organized and equipped, the better the able they are to serve. In this case, there wasn't even a list of who it was yet. On the 16th, March 16th, a constitution was adopted. It's its own country now. It's going to be a republic. It's got to have a constitution. The constitution was adopted. And a temporary government was elected to govern between that moment and when the first elections were held and those elected officers could be inaugurated. The first president was David G. Burnett, B-U-R-N-E-T, David Burnett. And so he was the first president of the Republic of Texas. But, not yet as elected under the Constitution, just as temporary. And famous Texican Lorenzo de Zavala, we learned a little bit about him. He had lived elsewhere in Mexico and had been a defender of the 1824 Constitution and republicanism in general, had been an ally of Santa Anna when Santa Anna seemed to be for the Constitution. eventually had to be against Santa Ana and fled to Texas. Lorenzo de Zavala. We have a Zavala County, Texas, don't we? It's not somewhere around here, isn't it? Zavala.
Relatively close.
Vice President. Lorenzo de Zavala, Vice President. So the next day, the official signing of the Constitution, March 17th. It was signed by those men present there as delegates from their counties, but it was not going to be considered final until submitted to a popular vote. So it was signed, but not yet technically in effect until it could be voted on by the people, and the convention adjourned after that. So the Constitutional Convention was March 1st through 17th. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they were going as fast as they could because, you know, Santa Ana's army was on the way. They needed to finish and get going. Now, like I said, I decided not to lay down the military events around the Alamo and elsewhere down next to this because I don't want to skip the opportunity for you young Texians to know what those founding fathers of Texas wrote into their Declaration of Independence and Constitution. Okay? So let me read you some excerpts. Of course, you can look this up on the internet yourself and read it all you want to, and it makes good reading. But here are just some excerpts from the Texas Declaration of Independence, issued what day? March 2nd, what year? March 2nd, 1836. I want you to think about that. March 2nd, 1830. I want it to be that if I sneak in your window in the middle of the night and shake you awake and say, when did Texas declare independence? You say, March 2nd, 1836. Okay. When a government has ceased to... Please do not try to copy this all down as I say it. Just listen and think, okay? When a government has ceased to protect the lives, liberty, and property of the people from whom its legitimate powers are derived, and for the advancement of whose happiness it was instituted, and so far from being a guarantee for the enjoyment of those inestimable and inalienable rights, becomes an instrument in the hands of evil rulers for their oppression. In such a crisis, the first law of nature, the right of self-preservation, the inherent and inalienable rights of the people to appeal to first principles and take their political affairs into their own hands in extreme cases, enjoins it as a right toward themselves and a sacred obligation to their posterity to abolish such government and create another in its stead, calculated to rescue them from impending dangers and to secure their future welfare and happiness. Sound familiar? Okay. The same place in the U.S. Declaration of Independence. From what year?
1776.
So that would be 70 years previous. That would be to them like 1952 to us, that long ago. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable
rights,
that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. When a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute
despotism,
it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So, you know, you can tell that they had the U.S. Declaration of Independence, if not memorized, then at least there on the table in front of them, they are declaring independence under the same principles and in some of the same language. it says right here, in such a crisis, the first law of nature, the right of self-preservation. And then it says, the right of the people to appeal to first principles. So, in the Bible, Romans chapter 13 and somewhere in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, it says, submit yourselves to the government, to all the governing authorities, every institution among men, the king, those appointed by him, we're to submit ourselves to them. That's what the Bible says to do. But what they're doing is they are stating, what do you do when those people over you in the government, instead of being the ones who secure your rights, become criminal against you, the very violators of your rights? What do you do then? And in both cases, they are stating that in such cases, you have the right, even the duty, to throw off government by such people. And here, the Textians are a little more specific about that, or they say a little more about it than in the U.S. Declaration of Independence. They say, the first law of nature, the right of self-preservation. If someone tries to kill you, you have the right to run away, fight back, even kill them. That is a principle that can be observed in nature. We have all had the privilege of reading the Bible and understanding what it says, but even if we hadn't, if you and I were just two tribesmen on an island somewhere and have never heard of the Bible, you know that if I try to murder you, it's not wrong for you to try to fight back. So that it is something God built into us that you can know whether you have the benefit of having the Bible or not. Self-preservation. Somebody tries to murder you, you can fight back against them. You don't have to just let them murder you. And to appeal to first principles, such as you shouldn't take my stuff. That's mine. That's first principles, that's very principles built into the world by God who created it. You're not allowed to just take my stuff. It's not okay for you to make me a promise, me depend on it, and then you to just break it. I don't have to just let you do that and be okay with it. These are first principles that then also, when God gave mankind the benefit of his law in words, as in the Ten Commandments, then these things appear in the Ten Commandments, the same first principles. But they are not specifically appealing to these laws as found in the Bible. They're appealing to them as found in nature. So that whether you are a Cherokee or Comanche who's never seen a Bible, or whether you are somebody well-versed in the Bible, or whether you are an unbelieving Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus or the New Testament but has the Old Testament Bible, whether you're a Mexican peon who can't read and you have the Bible but you don't know what it says, you know, no matter what kind of person you are, the appeal is to principles that everyone recognizes. Yes, sure, we're supposed to submit to those in government over us. God ordained that. But if those in government over you are murdering you and stealing from you and breaking all covenants that they've made with you, you're not under obligation to just go along with it all. You can appeal to first principles such as, well, yeah, I'm supposed to submit to you, but you're trying to murder me. Yeah, I'm supposed to submit to you, but you're stealing from me. You know, that's the general idea here in their Declaration of Independence and in ours. You should never be dismissive of what the Bible says about submitting to those in authority. But there are principles more basic than that, not against God, but created by God and expressed by Him, both in creation and in basic laws like the Ten Commandments. The primitive ordinance from God to our whole race through Noah: he who sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Okay? So if Santa Anna and those under him are going to attack, kill, steal, then what should happen to those who are doing that? If they're trying to shed blood, their blood should be shed. Now that, in times of peace, and normally should be done by those appointed to it, you know, those in the government. But if the government themselves have become murderer, then the people have to do that themselves. Okay. Texas Constitution, 1836. We, the people of Texas, in order to form a government, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense and general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, word for word.
Right.
I think they'd get in trouble for plagiarism if they were writing for school.
Yeah, right.
It has a little footnote at the bottom.
Yeah. It just says, Texas, and changes one or two some conjunctions or something, and it's the same. So, the powers of this government shall be divided into three departments, vis-a-vis legislative, executive, and judicial, which shall remain forever separate and distinct. The legislative power shall be vested in a Senate and a, what do you suppose? House of Representatives, to be styled the Congress of the Republic of Texas. The executive authority of this government shall be vested in a chief magistrate who shall be styled the president of the Republic of Texas. It's hard to make it a country in your mind after it's been a state for so long. The judicial powers of the government shall be vested in one. The judicial powers shall be vested in one Supreme Court and such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Now, that's all just right out of the U.S. Constitution, right? They're just attempting to duplicate the Constitution of these United States of America.
We don't have that much time.
Right? Yes.
Copy someone else's homework.
Down there, the Mexican army is marching this away. How about let's just... They just took their mouse and they just highlighted most of it and just...
I don't even have that action. Really?
Like, you're trying really hard not to copy the Declaration for Independence and the Constitution.
We don't see that much wrong with it, and we are short on time. Here's something interesting for you. The Congress will have the power to regulate commerce, to coin money, to fix the standard of weights and measures, but nothing but gold and silver shall be made a lawful tender. No provision for paper money, nor, of course, electronic money. Nothing but gold and silver shall be lawful tender. Ministers of the gospel, being by their profession dedicated to God and the care of souls, ought not to be diverted from the great duties of their functions. Therefore, no minister of the gospel or priest of any denomination whatever shall be eligible to the office of the executive of the republic, president, nor to a seat of either branch of the Congress. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is a defense of the civil power against undue influence by the church. This is part of the history of Texas as having been under Mexico, where one of the big problems was partial control of the civil authority by the priests. Okay, so in Texas, we're not going to have the civil government controlled by the church. Whether Catholic or Protestant, civil government is going to remain civil, not religious.
And it kind of becomes clear when they just put priest on there, just
right.
Not necessarily.
Right. At the same time, it's refreshing to hear ministers of the gospel dedicated to God, etc., care of souls. All of that is just kind of understood and assumed by those who founded the Republic of Texas. Yeah, there's a gospel. Yeah, there's ministers of the gospel. Yeah, people have souls. Yeah, there's God. All of that is just commonly understood. All right. How about this? Every male citizen who is by this constitution a citizen and shall be otherwise qualified shall be entitled to hold any office of place of honor, trust, or profit under the Republic. Every male citizen. Females can be citizens, but they cannot legally hold government office. Male only. No, there's something. I'm of course, as you perceive, I'm bringing up places in which the present way of Texas is not in adherence with its original stated principles. It shall be the duty of Congress, as soon as circumstances will permit, to provide by law a general system of education. So what's happened in our time is that we found that after 100 years and more, a state-run or a national, this was a country they were creating, a national system of education will end up in the hands of liberals, progressives, atheists, whatever, and people won't be able to keep their system of education Christian and reasonable and et cetera. They'll have to then homeschool because they can't stand their state-run system of education. So here's something that seemed good to them at the time. Looking at it from our perspective now, it's a nice idea. Right. If it had been able to remain reasonable and traditional and Christian and sound, it might have been nice to have it like that, but we're realizing now you have to leave education to private individuals to see to, or else you'll end up with an enormous monstrosity controlled by people who want to indoctrinate children in everything that's wrong. Okay, here's one that might be a little hard to swallow. All free white persons who shall emigrate to this republic and who shall, after a residence of 6 months, make an oath, etc., 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 shall be entitled to all the privileges of citizenship. White-only citizenship was what they believed in and put in their constitution. And then,
you think they were referring to black people or to Hispanic people or to both?
Well, now that's interesting. There were people of Mexican extraction who were in Texas, and I don't think they meant to exclude that, but I don't really know.
There's a long line of vice presidents whose name sounded as Hispanic.
Well, of course, there were a lot of people who were of Spanish extraction, but not Native American or Mexican or whatever not Hispanic, however you want to say that exactly. I don't think that's really what Hispanic means, but I don't really know. You can tell from more of what's said below. Let me read you a little more and see what you think about that then. Okay, all persons of color. Persons of color is not a new liberal term. Persons of color. All persons of color who were slaves for life previous to their emigration to Texas. Remember, this is before the American War between the states. This is not 1860s. This is 1830s. And who are now held in bondage shall remain in the like state of servitude. Provided the said slave shall be the bona fide property of the person so holding slave, as aforesaid. Congress shall pass no laws to prohibit emigrants in the United States of America bringing their slaves into the Republic with them, or holding them by the same tenure by which such slaves were held in the United States. nor shall Congress have power to emancipate slaves. So if theoretically their Congress had made a law emancipating the slaves, that would have been unconstitutional. Nor shall any slaveholder be allowed to emancipate his or her slaves without the consent of Congress, unless he or she shall send his or her slaves outside the limits of the Republic. No free person of African descent, either in whole or in part, shall be permitted to reside permanently in the Republic without the consent of Congress. How about that? Now, this is how those people thought and what they believed and what they intended. Now, here might be the answer of what you were asking, Mrs. Oakes. All persons, and then it has in parentheses, Africans, the descendants of Africans, and Indians excepted, who were residing in Texas on the day of the Declaration of Independence, shall be considered citizens of the Republic and entitled to all the privileges of such. So this is white citizenship only. Africans, descendants of Africans, and Indians not to be considered citizens. When you go and read the 1861 Texas Declaration of Causes for why they were seceding from the Union with the other southern states, it reads similar to that. So, there for your consideration. And then they have a Bill of Rights, which they call the Declaration of Rights. No preference shall be given by law to any religious denomination or mode of worship over another, but every person shall be permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Woo! Yes! That was super fantastic. We still have that, you know, and I'm so thankful for it. You don't go to the same church I go to, right? No police officers coming to your church or to your house to tell you you have to go to church with me, nor vice versa. Person lives next door to you, possibly doesn't even go to church. No police officers appearing to fine them for non-attendance. And we don't want that. You know, I don't even want it to be that everybody has to come to church at my church. I don't want that. I don't even want anybody to be required to just go to church. We want it to be just like this. You know, the Lord Jesus did not send out his apostles to go and make people go to church. Sent them out to preach forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, so that all who repent and believe will organize themselves as congregations, but nobody to be required. Every citizen shall have the right to bear arms in defense of himself and the Republic. The military shall at all times and all cases be subordinate to the civil power. Which is good stuff, right? The sure and certain defense of a free people is a well-regulated militia, and it shall be the duty of the legislature to enact such laws as may be necessary to the organizing of the militia of this republic.
Sounds oddly familiar.
Yeah, it's our familiar Second Amendment, but stated a little more fully. Kind of helps you understand. In my opinion, these longer lines should be taken as helping us understand what was meant 70 years previous to that. Not full 70.
60.
What?
60 years.
Right. Before that, in our Bill of Rights, our Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so here you get some of that, you know, explained. Every citizen shall have the right to bear arms in defense of himself and the Republic. Not just in defense of the Republic, but in defense of himself. Okay. Well, there's so much more. It's so rich and wonderful. That's all for now, though, friends. Thank you.